The Nerdcast Empire is on the air. It is Monday, April the 7th, 2025, and this is the Monday edition of the Nerdcast News Report. I am Matt in the studio. Great to have you along with us. Today on the podcast, we get you started for your new week. We're going to be talking the Anime Awards. If you were one of about eight shows, congratulations. You got nominated for the Anime Awards. We'll talk about that coming up in a moment. May want to find another home for your anime list. We'll talk about why that might be coming up. And kind of a more national story about streaming anime kind of tells you who the main players in the space in the United States are. And we'll talk about that. And then we'll wrap things up with the Empire Express to get your Monday rolling along. Joining me in studio on this Monday morning is Mike. Mike, how's it going?
It's going. Yeah, it's another new week. And we got stories involving Web3 companies. That's always a blast. And kind of an interesting discussion on the big players in the streaming world. And, you know, I think that's going to be an evolving topic as we move in and move further along. And with other companies slowly starting to get key titles, I think it'll be interesting to see in the months and years where things go with licenses shifting around and who the major players will ultimately be at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that will evolve as we go forward. But right now it does seem like there are two companies that kind of end up at the top of the list. And we'll talk about that as our last news story today. But we are going to jump into the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. The nominations were announced late last week, and as the headline on this podcast kind of indicates, maybe a little facetiously, but not terribly so, it's a very limited nomination list. If you are one of the top shows, congratulations, you got nominated for just about everything. Obviously, you can go on to Crunchyroll's website. You can vote on these awards. I believe you can vote every day for these awards through April 14th, which is when the voting closes. So you got about another week to get your votes in for your favorite anime. And, you know, when we watched the video, which was nominating, or the nominating video that did, you know, went through all the nominees. First off, I mean, great production value. They did a really nice job putting the video together. It was well done. No critiques from a video standpoint. But yeah, you just couldn't help but notice they just kept saying the same shows over and over again as they went through the nomination. Good morning to Rachel, who's back from vacation. Great to have you back along with us this morning. I just can't help but think that you have a very narrow pool of shows to choose from. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was almost comical because every time they would announce a new category and then go through the nominees, you could almost guess the nominees as they were announcing them. It was just like, oh, Frieren, Apothecary Diaries, Dandadan, Delicious in Dungeon, same shows over and over again. And not to say those shows aren't big and don't deserve the nominations, but you know, we've talked about before, there's so much anime out there. It seems really hard to believe that you couldn't maybe spread the wealth a little more evenly as far as the nominations go, especially considering there's so much out there. They can't, like, Dandadan can't be the best in everything. That's just not possible. And, you know, you have categories ranging from kind of the best categorized shows of the year. You have character awards, you have voice acting awards, and the voice acting one gets me too, because there's no correlation between that show being good and, oh, every language of that dub has the best voice actors in it. Like, that doesn't seem like it's necessarily necessary, I guess. It's strange. I mean, there are some shows that I would have liked to have seen better represented, but, you know, whenever you have an award show that is run by a company this entrenched in the industry as Crunchyroll is, you're probably not getting a true objective look at the industry.
No, and I don't even know that they're necessarily passing it off that way, so it's hard to be too critical to some degree. Like, it's not like they're saying that we're being fair to everybody. I, you know, the language one is one that jumps out. And not to say that those performances weren't great. I mean, they could have been the best performances of the year. But if you played Frieren, or you played Mau Mau or Momo or Kafka Hibino, you pretty much got nominated across all languages. And it's like, at some point, when you nominate every voice actor that plays a character across all the languages, you have to ask at some point, is it the actor or is it the way the character's written that makes them so intriguing? Yeah. Like, and that's not fair to the actors, because again, I'm sure they gave it all their effort and did the best they could and put on great performances. But you just start to think like, well, maybe it's not the actor. Maybe it is just the character was written in a way that makes them stand out. I mean, a lot of cases, those are main characters in the show. So, you know, that's kind of why that happens. So that jumped out at you. I know you have the data as well, but if you go on to Wikipedia, they have obviously all the nominees, but they also have the number of nominations for each show. Dondadon led the way with 22, Frieren with 20, Delicious and Dungeon and Kaiju number 8, 16, Apothecary Diaries and Solo Leveling 13. So those six shows were nominated for a minimum of 13 awards a piece, and in some cases more than 20. And then you had, you know, Demon Slayer got 8, Spy Family 6, Oshinoko 5, and then it kind of drops from there. I mean, I know you watched and enjoyed Spy Family, a little surprise, and that was a Crunchyroll show, right? Or was it not?
Yeah, it was.
It was. So, I mean, a little surprising. It only got 6 nominations. Oshinoko is not a Crunchyroll show. It's a high dive show. So not surprised to see that get slighted. But that was, by all accounts, not just my opinion, one of the best shows of 2024. And it got 5 nominations. Like, that seems kind of crazy to me. Like, again, not saying that Crunchyroll's even trying to pretend that this is some sort of true statement of the best in anime as much as it is the best of Crunchyroll, but it just, you know, if you're going to do these awards, I think you need to be a little more impartial, unbiased about your selections.
Yeah, and one of the categories that stuck out to me, because it had a couple of shows that I did watch, the best romance anime, I think Blue Box is really, really good. It's a Netflix show, so it got 1 nomination. Dangers in My Heart season 2, another great show. I think that's High Dive. It got, what, maybe 1 or 2?
2 nominations.
I think those shows definitely deserved more of a look. You know, another show that I dog on a lot because of the dub, but honestly, the show is fine, is the reboot of Kenshin in season 2 of that. Like, I understand there may be some baggage there with nominating it, but as far as like an action show, you know, and potentially even overall character design is great in it, I think maybe it should have deserved a bit more of a look. Otherwise, like, I understand Solo Leveling's huge. Like, I really enjoy that show, so I can't complain. Same with Spy Family. But yeah, I think there were definitely some missed opportunities where we just ran with the same shows over and over again. And where's Dragon Ball Daima?
Yeah,
it debuted in fall of last year.
You would have thought it would have gotten some nominations just on the sentimental value of it. So that's where it falls into the kind of the other side of these award shows, where it's like, oh, well, you know, that's too common a show. It's, you know,
and what I don't know, is there some sort of weird, like, artificial cutoff date? Because, you know, that was a fall show, I believe. Yeah. It really didn't start airing over here as far as dub goes until this year. But, and maybe that you will see it on next year's awards, but
that could be.
It's still kind of strange to have it oddly missing, because it's fine. I mean, the show's fun. It's if you like Dragon Ball, you'll probably enjoy it, because it definitely is more of an adventure show and less about the ridiculous fighting. Looking at the awards in general, you know, anime of the year, I've watched, let's see, Solo Leveling, Kaiju number 8, and I'm about 6 episodes into Apothecary Diaries. I like Kaiju number 8, but man, like, to suggest it's one of the best anime of the year, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. I don't think it's on the level of Solo Leveling. Another show that I think should have gotten more nominations that didn't, it got 2, was Shangri-La Frontier.
Yeah.
I think that's, as far as your VR game anime genre, I think it's crazy entertaining. And yeah, I think I would have given it a nod maybe for anime of the year, but They aren't my awards.
They're not. They're Crunchyroll's awards, and certainly they're allowed to do whatever they want to do there. You know, you mentioned Kenshin, and I think it's fair to point out, like, you know, if Kenshin has so much baggage that you can't nominate it for your awards, why are you showing it on your network?
I mean, that's true.
You know, that seems to be a little hypocritical to me that it's okay enough to put out there to get people to sign up for your service to watch it, but not enough to do the dub. And even though the English dub is a bit maligned, the Japanese dub has some of the biggest voice actors and actresses in the industry in it. So you're telling me none of those performances deserve to mention on the Japanese side? That's a little hard for me to believe.
And the show's been great, honestly. Like, the only issue I have is in some of the dub performances, but another show that I think was kind of oddly missing, Danmachi season 5.
Yeah.
I think it's been really good. I think ReZero probably could have had more nominations than it did.
Oshinoko to me was a big, I mean, that again, that was critically acclaimed as one of the best shows of the year. The acting in that show is really on another level. The visuals are amazing. I mean, anybody who watched that arc and didn't think that the visuals for that shouldn't be nominated for something, like,
yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah, that one, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
That time I got reincarnated as a slime, I think it had one nomination for best isekai. Another just show that is way better than you could imagine it would be just based on the title. But yeah, I feel like the results of the nominations would be if I sat down and nominated shows, where I'm someone who, admittingly, you know, you look at the best anime category, I watched 3 of those shows. Like, so if you sat me down and said, hey, come up with all the nominees for all these categories, it would probably look oddly similar in the sense that it would be the same shows over and over again, because I've only watched so much. But I think for an award show, you kind of expect a wider depth of knowledge there.
A couple other shows that, like, what happened, you know, the new season of Konosuba, that show's been really popular for a long time.
Yeah,
it got 2 nominations, little surprise there. Attack on Titan, like, you know, it got a couple of nominations. Again, another show that's been really popular for a long time. The new season of Bleach got 3 nominations. One Piece got 3 nominations. That's a show that continues to be among the most watched, and it only earned 3 nominations. You know, Masha was another show I think people really liked, and it only got 4 nominations, and for the worst reasons. It got, you know, the theme got nominated, which is just so mediocre. And there just seemed to be some serious omissions. And I think, I don't know how they kind of came up with the nominees, whether it was a small committee, whether they polled people, but it would have been nice to see. And maybe they just used numbers. Maybe this is raw data. Maybe it's like, well, these are the 6 shows that people watch most on Crunchyroll, so these are the 6 that could are be anime of the year. I would like to have them say that, because then it's like, well, at least I understand where you're coming from. But like I said, I feel like they fell short with these, and I would love to see kind of a more independent organization be able to do these type of awards and maybe give them a little more fairly, maybe even allow people to nominate themselves and come up with a maybe more balanced list.
But you kind of think that maybe that's where the whole anime.com thing's eventually going to get to, since they're doing like rankings of anime. Like, you could see that being the next step, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's potentially a little sketchy, which gets us into our second story for today. Obviously, you know, it is one of those things that there's a lot of companies out there buying up other companies, and some of them maybe aren't the most above board. But the news that ebook distributor, is it Media Dough, I would assume? Or is it,
I would assume so, but I don't know that for sure.
Holdings have announced that they are buying My Anime List.
Media Dough is selling
I'm sorry, excuse me. They're selling it to, is that Gaudi?
That's how I'm saying it.
Tokyo based Web3 and AI company. It looks like it'll be about 531 million yen or $3.5 million.
I wouldn't have guessed it was worth that much.
I would not
totally
have,
honest.
But it's not the website, obviously. It's the data on the website that they're buying. And, you know, that's a little concerning, because, you know, you're now having this Web3 company selling or buying data that they can now scrape off, that, you know, all these email addresses, all of these, you know, login information, all this stuff that they can do whatever they're going to do with it. My Anime List has been wildly popular. It's really kind of the industry leader as far as tracking what shows you've watched, tracking what manga you've watched or read. I mean, you know, I feel like everybody kind of goes to that site. So, and I feel like the story kind of flew under the radar. You don't see a lot of people talking about it, but I think they're going to figure it out pretty quick when you start seeing crypto scams showing up on My Anime List. It's, you hope it's not as bad as you fear it could be, but it doesn't seem like great news if you're a fan of My Anime List.
Yeah, I think all things being equal, anytime you have a website being acquired by another company, my immediate fear is that the browsing experience on that website is now going to become worse. Like there are going to be more ads popping up for me and just general lack of user experience enhancements. I need My Anime List. Like that's how I'm tracking what I'm watching presently. I don't know if other people have moved on to something better at this point, because obviously before this it was Anime News Network, but it, you know, My Anime List felt like it was a little more user friendly and better updated. I don't know where we go from here. I don't, beyond just the data, I don't know what Gaudi really wants this for. I mean, their whole thing is building fan nations. They have deals with other companies, including Sanrio, Bandai Namco, Sony Music Group. I'm curious what the end game here is. You know, I was doing a little more research into it, and they mentioned, as far as like the Sony Music Group part of it, is, you know, they're basically using Sony's intellectual property assets along with Gaudi's blockchain technology to promote digital transformation in areas that have not been as exposed to digitization before. Companies will focus on user experience and new business models. They've begun a proof of concept experiment with fans of pop stars aligned with Sony Music Group.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know, to be totally honest, but yeah, they've been providing community services using advanced technologies, especially blockchain. It all still seems very much like, hey, we're going to create this really cool thing for the fans that we can then monetize.
Yeah.
And create digital assets that people want to buy. And it's oddly reminiscent of the anime.com thing where you had the Web3 company purchase up that domain name. And even though they haven't done anything positive or negative necessarily with it yet, it's like the fact they talk about doing things involving digital assets, it doesn't seem overly necessary at best.
Yeah, I think it's a little alarming. And again, it's the mass amounts of data that they're scraping by doing this that makes you concerned, because I don't know how many users My Anime List has, but it's a ton. And it, like I said, it is pretty much the industry standard. So what information can these companies get from this, and what are they going to do with it? You hope nothing nefarious, but again, these companies and the whole blockchain crypto world, like I get that technology is probably not going away, but it doesn't have a very positive feeling. And as far as the way I see it, and I think the way a lot of people see it. And so you just can't help but assume the worst when this kind of thing happens. And yeah, you hope to be proved wrong, but
we're waiting for that.
Yeah, we're waiting for the first company to use this technology in a way that doesn't feel like they're trying to rip people off. And I don't know if we've gotten there yet.
And that's the funny thing is, like, in the back of my mind, I think, well, maybe it has happened, I just haven't heard about it. But no, that's impossible. If it really has happened, I certainly would have heard about it. Everyone would have heard about it. So, yeah, I think we're still waiting. I just hope this doesn't interrupt my usage of My Anime List just to track new anime, especially when I do like my anime opening and ending or anime opening YouTube videos. I rely heavily on My Anime List to get the seasons and the years for all these shows. I don't want that to be disturbed.
No, and I hope it won't be, but we'll see. Only time will tell. But if you are a fan of My Anime List, might not be a bad idea to maybe start looking at some alternative options. Yeah, just in case you need to move your stuff on. Before we get to our last story, just a reminder, check out our website, nerdcastempire.com. If you didn't check out the Hard Rock Empire, we posted it a little over 12 hours ago. You can check that out both on Twitch and on YouTube. We'll be back on Saturday again, kind of a new podcast schedule for our news podcast. We'll be back Saturday. Actually, we won't be back this Saturday, but typically we'll be Mondays and Saturdays from here on out. Our next podcast will be Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, another episode of the Hard Rock Empire. Looking forward to that coming up this coming Sunday. And then we'll be back on Monday with a recap of SakaiCon coming up on Monday. But let's get to our last news story of the day. And it really is more of kind of the way the industry looks more than it is like a news story. But the story is basically that a lot of the anime streaming world right now is Netflix and Crunchyroll. Obviously, Wall Street is what money they have left is going in toward the anime world at the moment. Maybe that's a safe place to put it. I don't know. They're expecting the market to grow to $16 billion by 2030 with Crunchyroll and Netflix leading the way. There's an article in Variety we'll look at in a moment. They pretty much dominated the market share, 82% of the market going to those two companies, with 18% going to basically everybody else. And obviously you're getting shows that are exclusive to those brands. That's kind of what's driving those numbers. You kind of take a look at this chart that basically talks a little bit more about it. But like you said, in the open, I don't know if it's always going to be this way, but right now those two companies certainly have kind of the head start on everybody else in the business. And I think it'll be interesting if they update these numbers every year to see how they evolve.
Yeah, it's definitely where we're at right now. I think if you're Crunchyroll, you probably shouldn't be too excited about this or willing to rest on your laurels, because you know the article does kind of go in and mention that, and there was a study about this that we talked about a few weeks back, basically saying that as far as like Gen Z and millennial viewers go, they're opting more for Netflix over Crunchyroll. And I think it makes sense, because ultimately Netflix is going to be your go-to for so many other things beyond anime. If they continue to pick up big shows, I mean, like this past season or so, we've had Blue Box, we've had Sakamoto Days. I think if that continues, Crunchyroll, especially as they lose shows and kind of struggle with their public image, I think it could be, we could see this turn even further. And then you have a company like Max, who has Lazarus on their app now. Like, I just wonder how many of those other more mainstream all-purpose streamers are going to get heavier into anime, and what that means for something like a Crunchyroll and High Dive.
Well, I think the question for those companies will become, like, do you go to a company like Disney, or do you go to another major streamer and say, hey, let's come up with some sort of either strategic partnership or some sort of buyout to where maybe you could combine Hulu and Crunchyroll, or you could combine, you know, Max and High Dive or something like that, where you can find a way for a value proposition where you're giving your customers more than just anime. Because like you said, that's the big advantage of Netflix. They've got everything. They've got, you know, Monday Night Raw. They've got, you know, everything you'd want is there, and they're continuing to look to expand going forward. You know, Crunchyroll can only do anime. Like, that's the thing it does. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, any attempts for Crunchyroll to try to expand beyond anime will probably cause a revolt among anime fans, kind of in the same way that these retail stores who are getting in their final days start bringing in all these other products to sell. It's like, your Crunchyroll all of a sudden starts, you know, license the Big Bang Theory to stream. You know, people are going to be like, oh, well, this is, you know, they're going to get rid of anime. This is the end, you know, and somehow doesn't work for them to try to diversify their portfolio.
That's the thing that kind of blew my mind, is that when you think about someone like Disney, obviously has multiple streaming avenues, and then they're a major player. You have Netflix, you have Max, like, Crunchyroll's owned by Sony. How come you never hear about Sony's streaming?
Yeah, I mean,
they own movies. They, in theory, have television shows. Why? You know, and I just kind of did a quick search, and they do have something called Sony Pictures Core, which is a video on demand service from Sony for its television and smartphones, launched in 2021.
I've never heard of it.
Nor have I. I think there's no reason why they shouldn't have their own large scale service that they could tie together with Crunchyroll to create a larger entity. That's weird to me that I when you think of all the major studios and players in entertainment, they seem to be the one missing.
Yeah. And that's kind of odd. I don't know if it's because they don't have a television presence that's part of it. Like, feels like all these other ones kind of have some. I mean, Netflix
movies alone doesn't quite.
Yeah. Netflix is a little different because they're kind of grandfathered in, having come through the video wars and stuff. But, you know, obviously Hulu, you know, Max, you know, these are all, they're all tied to linear television as well. So you kind of bring your customers from TV to streaming. I don't know. That's a great question. And again, Sony is also, you know, somewhat related, I think, you know, at least tied to NBC Universal in Japan, like with their kind of deals. So again, as this thing kind of evolves, you just have to think at some point, both, you know, Crunchyroll and High Dive, maybe to a lesser extent, you're gonna have to figure something out that gives their customers a little more value than just anime. Cause like you said, at some point Netflix is going to beat them there too. And then what do you have left?
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, but we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Really interesting report. Definitely check that out in Variety. Again, just kind of stunning the numbers. They're expecting the anime industry to continue to boom. As much as we lament that there's too many anime, clearly the market at this point still is ready for more. So we'll see if that
maybe continues. We'll get a few more shows nominated for awards next year.
Who maybe have 7 shows nominated next time. But time to wrap up this edition of the Nerdcast Empire, and we're going to do that with the Empire Express. You ready to wrap this thing up?
Let's go.
The judge in the OhioCon CESI lawsuit of Sakai Guild has laid out a tentative timeline in the case. While there is still an opportunity for the two sides to use mediation to find a settlement, previous attempts have failed. If the case goes to trial, the tentative trial date set by the Honorable Jennifer L. Branch is May 18, 2026. Plaintiffs believe the trial will take 10 days, while the defense believes it will take 3. Any thoughts on that?
I'm certainly not surprised that mediation attempts up to this point have failed, as there's surely a lot of bitterness between the two sides. I tend to kind of assume the trial will be on the shorter side. I don't know what all needs to be hashed out from that, but who knows? We have SakaiCon this coming weekend and excited for that, so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
One of the most highly anticipated new anime of the spring season has one high profile fan in Japan. Legendary game designer Hideo Kojima noted on his X account that Lazarus, the new series created by Shinichiro Watanabe, is the first anime series he has watched live while it aired since Licorice Recoil. Pretty high praise, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, that dude kind of knows entertainment, and he was obsessed with Licorice Recoil, the point where he had, like, a figure of one of the characters made, like, specifically for him. But, yeah, I think Lazarus, from all accounts, I didn't get to watch the first episode, but Rotten Tomatoes, I guess, had a really high score, so people were really excited about it, so may have to check it out. A classic hard rock group is headed into the studio and back on the road in 2026. The band Hardline has announced we'll release a new album in 2026 and will be touring to support it. The band recently signed with Steamhammer/SPV to support both ventures. Interested in this release?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the band still has their original lead singer, Johnny Gioli, and Alessandro Del Vecchio has been involved with the band, so that can't be a bad thing. I wonder if that isn't also kind of why they've left Frontiers now and moved on to Steamhammer/SPV, because I think he has left Frontiers as well.
Yeah.
I haven't really followed the band all that closely, but 1992's Double Eclipse is a great album, so I'm all for a tour and new music. Another streaming milestone was reached last week when Metallica's Master of Puppets, the title track of the album with the same name, reached 1 billion streams on Spotify. It joins other Metallica songs, Nothing Else Matters and Enter Sandman, and about 1,000 other songs. It feels like some irony that the band that hated Napster is celebrating earning 0.4 cents per stream, right?
It is, because, I mean, yes, that's still like $4 million for that many streams. So, I mean, it's not nothing, but for 0.4 cents, like, that's not far from just stealing it. So it is kind of a little bit hilarious that they're celebrating this.
I mean, I'm glad they can still make a living off streaming.
Yes, if you do a billion streams, you can make a living off of streaming for sure. Finally, a Canadian man was arrested recently, accused of using counterfeit money to buy Pokemon trading cards. He attempted to buy around $4,000 in cards with fake money, and when arrested, he had $10,200 in counterfeit money on him. That is just crazy, right?
Everything about this story is ridiculous. The more I think about it, though, maybe the guy he was buying them from was a reseller who was charging way above market value, so the guy figured he deserved to be scammed. It's hard to say, but collecting Pokemon cards could be a pretty awful hobby to want to be involved with. So it's ugly.
It is ugly for sure. And the local government asking people to contact the police if you have been scammed. And who knew that was such a thing? But as the world turns, I guess, in Pokemon trading cards, pretty wild stuff. But that is going to wrap things up for this edition of the Nerdcast News Report. You're all caught up on your nerdy news to begin your week. We'll be back again on Sunday night. Again, no news podcast on Saturday morning. SakaiCon this weekend. We'll be back on Sunday night with another episode of the Hard Rock Empire, 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then we'll be back next Monday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern, as we wrap up SakaiCon and all things in the nerdy news with a Nerdcast News Report. A big thanks to Rachel for joining us this morning. A big thanks to Stove Lake Media for their continued support of the podcast. Big thanks to Mike as well. And a big thanks to you for listening whenever and wherever you have listened. We'll be back with you on Sunday night for another episode of the Hard Rock Empire. Until then, don't forget to join the Empire, the Nerdcast Empire.